Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Syracuse Sports presented by Krause Health, the exclusive healthcare partner for SU Athletics. Brent Axe, Emily Liker back with you as spring football rolls around. We got a scrimmage in the books. We've got some recruits to talk about. We met a new coach today. We got real injury information to provide to you. I mean, what a time to be alive, Emily, a head coach actually telling us what's going on with injured football players today. I almost fainted at the real information we were provided by Fran Brown today.
Yeah, you know, we heard two major updates. Obviously, we see things in practice, and then we have to wait to talk and kind of hear what's going on. And both major players here, obviously, Aronde Gadsden and then and Jackson Meeks. I will say, like, Aronde Gadsden's was pretty much expected. Mm-hmm. We knew that he was likely going to have a second surgery this spring. It was optional for him to get those screws removed from his foot. At least that's what his dad had told me back in February. Clearly, that's what he and his training staff and recovery staff chose to do. And so I had noted last week at practice that he wasn't there on Thursday. And at the time, the sports information director hadn't known why. And that seems to be it's because he was down getting his screws out. So no surprise there. That shouldn't affect his like recovery timeline in any major way. He's still set to be on pace for a full go in the summer and being really back to 100% health and performance by the opening of fall camp, which will be in August. Meeks, obviously, we did not know about, and that was a newer thing that we heard from Brown today. He was in a boot on his, which foot was it, Brent? His left foot. So opposite foot of Gadsden. Gadsden is right foot. Meeks is left foot. Sounds like it was something that he dealt with at Georgia, I believe Brown said, and they maybe just didn't know how serious it was. And when they found out that it was a hairline fracture, they're like, Brown's like, nope, we're getting that fixed and you're going to be full go. So I think he said about 4 weeks before Meeks is ready to go and do stuff again. So you can find a little bit more detail about both of those on the website.
There you go. So check that out at Syracuse.com. We're going to hear from Fran Brown and edge coach Nick Williams, also noted as one of the top recruiters in the country coming up. And what was not only the honesty, Emily, to hear Fran Brown say the words hairline fracture, foot surgery, like specifics. Why hold that back? Like, you got a guy, he's going to be out for a month. It's an injury that persisted from last year, so it may have been out there from people that knew Meeks at Georgia. And what stood out to me is Meeks through camp, as Fran Brown described, has been like, I'm good coach. But they finally said, no, let's shut this down. Let's take care of it now and get through it. And even through that injury, Emily, we've talked about him a few times. Jackson Meeks has looked great in camp. He stood out in camp. So get that taken care of. Let's see what he's at 100% as opposed to out there playing with a nagging injury in his foot. And the approach that Brown said about not only that, but with OG, right? You know, I asked, is it veteran maintenance? Are you taking it easy with him? He's like, no, we wanted him to get him out there to focus on blocking in the spring, but they are really taking it easy and being careful and cautious with OG's recovery. Remember that Liz Frank injury he suffered in September of last year. That's a 10 to 12 month full recovery for that thing. Right. So to hear the note, get the screws out and the process that's there, that's just something you don't want to mess with. But I've been surprised to see what OG's even been able to do throughout camp. But certainly we now know how cautious they're being with that.
Yeah, you know, he was pretty active those first few practices that he was involved in. And like you said, Brown said the big focus with him has been blocking. And, you know, that's kind of been the big focus for him since he moved into the tight end role. Obviously, having a background as a receiver, the receiving comes naturally, but the blocking doesn't. It's a whole different kind of ball game doing that for him. But it's also been a focus of the team, as we've talked about before. So I think this is the smart move for both of them. Like, ultimately, like, yeah, would it be great to have them in front of fans, help rile up excitement in the spring game? Sure. But I think people are excited enough, and you want both of those guys 100% healthy and as good to go as possible by the start of the actual season.
And what we continue to hear, we'll confirm it as we get closer and just make sure here, but the spring game is actually going to be about as close to a real scrimmage as you can get. Speaking of which, Syracuse had its first of two inter-squad scrimmages on Saturday. You're going to hear Fran Brown talk about that coming up and some players that stood out. But another thing that stood out, Emily, was another flood of recruits coming in on unofficial visits, and we could do entire shows, and we will do recruiting shows coming up in the future here, just to get a sense from recruiting experts and people that really follow this stuff closely. You know, the guys that Syracuse is in, they're getting commitments from, and they are well ahead of the game. They are a top 10 recruited school in the country right now, recruiting wise. Keep in mind, you get credit for the number of recruits you have. It's not just an evaluation of the recruits you have. And Syracuse has, correct me if I'm wrong, Emily, 12 commitments?
Yeah, I believe they're at 12 right now, yeah.
For the class of 2025, which is well ahead of the game that I have seen in Syracuse in recent memory. But there's a few names that did visit this weekend. You see them kind of post on social media afterwards that I thought we should know. Number one was Michael Thomas, who's a four-star wide receiver from Toms River, New Jersey, class of 2025. He's a 5'10", 200-pound receiver and would be a big get for Syracuse, another New Jersey recruit and a very talented player at that. Hardy Watts was the other four-star player that I saw post on social media, 6'5", 305-pound offensive lineman. He's a four-star guy. He's rated the number one player overall in the state of Massachusetts. Remember, Syracuse just got a running back commitment from Massachusetts. He's in the class of 2025. A few other guys that stood out to me. Keith McDowell, 6'5", 345-pound offensive defensive lineman. He's from Medford, New York, so keeping it within New York State. He's in the class of 2026. Wears a size 18 shoe to tell you the size that they're bringing in recruit-wise, Emily. Here's another one, another terrific nickname, by the way. Laneel Big U-Haul Hall. 6'4", 340, class of 2026, another Massachusetts guy. He's from Brookline. I mean, we're really winning in the nickname department here, right? With not only future recruits, but a couple of guys that have committed to Syracuse as well. Deion Wilson, the Big Tank, right? And some of these great nicknames that we're seeing on the team and recruiting-wise.
Yeah, you know, it's always interesting to see the different posts kind of roll in and who's around campus. I think it's worth noting that not all of these guys are class of 2025 players. Like we've seen out to, I think you said you saw 2028.
I saw 2028, yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah,
that would be like freshman year. But yeah, there's just really been a lot on campus this spring. I caught up with Byron Washington, Marcus Upton, and Jordan Gibbs, who were three of those guys that visited that very first weekend of spring camp, the weekend that it snowed and was kind of gross here in central New York, and talked to them about that visit and their commitments, which they kind of kicked off this wave of commitments that we've seen here early in the spring. So you can read that on the site right now as well.
Read that. And Byron Washington, of course, who's 6'8", 380, that famous viral photo out there of a poor young man he pushed around in the Texas state championship game. So check that out. And, you know, we're tracking recruits as best as we can, but Emily, we need like someone to do that full time just to track the flood of visitors that's coming in and that will continue through spring ball. Was also noted over the weekend, I know you wrote about this, there was a wide receiver from Philadelphia whose name is escaping me at the moment. Give me a sec to look that up, or if you remember.
Jaleel Hall,
thank you. He put Syracuse in his top five. Now, he is going to announce in June. He is visiting Syracuse in June 7th through 9th. I remember the date that he is coming in, and that's a pretty big get for Syracuse if they can get him, if he does announce and commit to Syracuse in, I believe, June 29th is when he's announcing. So starting to see Syracuse show up more and more in these four, five-star big-name recruits. And he's from Philly, so there's another regional within 6 hours type of player that you just weren't seeing Syracuse show up in those top five lists, and now we're seeing happen more and more often.
Definitely.
All right. So that's on the recruiting front. We're going to hear from Nick Williams coming up, who is not only noted as one of the top recruiters in the country, he is Syracuse's new edge coach and is working with that defensive line. Emily, you spent a lot of time at practice watching the defensive line today. What did you see?
Yeah, you know, pretty basic drills today. I watched the defensive tackle group and then the edge group. So first, I guess I'll just lay out who is working in which, because that's always interesting to know. So defensive tackles who are working mainly with Robinson in practice, Elijah Fuentes Cundiff, who's obviously a returning guy, Rashard Perry, that's a returning guy, Kevin Jobody Jr., Michael Nwokocha, I hope I'm saying that right, Jaleel Smith, Braylon Ingram, Ty Gordon, and Deion Wilson Jr. were all the guys I spotted over there today. Deion Wilson Jr., obviously the tank, as you just mentioned. Big guy. So at that tackle position, that's what you want. And then out on the edge, you have Jahi Lassane Jr., King Joseph Edwards. Those are two of the brand new freshmen, and they actually got shout outs from Williams today. David Omopariola, Fadil Diggs, obviously, Chase Simmons, Dennis Jacquez, Stan Moto, who I believe is one of those walk-ons that joined practice or joined the team back when they had their winter walk-on tryouts, Isaiah Hastings, who is the Alabama transfer, and then Kevin Jobody Jr. must be doing work with both groups because I have him written down twice, but that's not necessarily a surprise. You see that. So, you know, the defensive tackles were working a lot today on like practicing, like getting double teamed. And so like at one point, like Robinson was yelling at him and was like, you got to be strong. You're going up against 600 pounds and stuff like that, and had them working the two man machine and then getting out of blocks and stuff like that. It was funny too. At one point he was standing on the back of the machine as two guys pushed him, and I don't think he was quite ready for the first group to push him. They pushed him several yards back, and he was kind of like, whoa, like, and surprised by how much they did. And then similarly, the defensive, the edge rusher guys were just kind of working around getting off blocks and getting around to the QB and stuff like that. It's, again, like we're just seeing very basic positional skill work right now. So like, nothing too crazy about like who is lining up where, besides like what groups they're practicing in. But yeah, you know, it was just pretty basic stuff. Both Elijah Robinson and Nick Williams are on the louder side as coaches. So they are very vocal, and they yell a lot and get into it. But one of the things we can talk about as we talk about quotes, I think that really stood out to me today, was hearing a little bit about Fadil Diggs and Nick Williams's relationship, because obviously we know Fadil Diggs is close with Elijah Robinson. They have the Camden tie, they have the Texas A&M tie, but he's working with Williams mostly. And, you know, Williams is overseeing this group a lot more off the field than Robinson necessarily is, because Robinson is the defensive coordinator. So we heard a lot about that today, and I thought there's some interesting things to talk about there.
There's two things that stand out. One is the name Fadil Diggs keeps coming up and the impact that he's having. He is essentially the Kyle McCord of the defense, right? He's that good of a player. He's that highly rated of a player. He's that talented of a player. And he is kind of the North Star of that defense. He's helped guide some of these players, having the familiarity with Coach Robinson. And it just sounds like he is the standout name on the defensive line who keeps breaking through, who keeps making plays. There was a situation that Nick Williams talked about today, Emily. I don't know if I caught the audio or not, but he was talking about there was three plays in a row where Fadil Diggs not only stood out and made plays, he was a lot of football jargon in there, but he did it in like three different ways. And you can tell like the offensive line was just like overwhelmed by this. And one thing you're going to hear Fran Brown talk about when we play the soundbite coming up here is one thing he didn't like about the scrimmage on Saturday was they gave up a few too many sacks in his eyes. So you can tell Diggs is behind that. And this defensive line, that brings me to the second point, Emily, a lot of new names in there, a lot of new names working their way, and not only transfers, but names that are kind of moving up the charts from the depth chart as well.
Yeah. That moment you mentioned, I have the quote from Nick Williams as he was describing that set of plays from Fadil. And so a little more context is, I had asked like, oh, what's the biggest focus with this edge group right now? And he said, you know, like, making sure we get back and disrupting the quarterback and doing all of that. And he had mentioned that one thing Coach Fran told him that's really stuck with him is like, essentially your guys, like the position, the guys in your position group are going to reflect like your personality as a coach and like are going to become mini yous essentially. And so I was like, what's a moment from this spring where you've seen someone and been like, oh, this guy, he's like emulating me now. And so this is the quote from Nick Williams. He said, Fadil Diggs, he had three rushes back to back to back. It's called pass rush math, which I thought was a fun little phrase there. You want to throw pitches like you're in a baseball game. One move, he rushed off the edge with speed and he beat the guy. The next move, he went speed to power and beat the guy. the very next move, he worked chop, spin, and countered inside. He worked three different moves, and it showed his toolbox, his versatility in rushing the passer. That's kind of who I am. I like to teach the same things different ways for different guys to learn. And so then we got into, like, how do you balance that, and just learning the different types of ways that your players learn best and operate, and how you can teach them. And he obviously talked about getting to know them off the field is the big thing. But that idea of, like, pass rushing and mixing things up also came up with Fadil. And he was like, you know what, like, coming out of the scrimmage, one thing I told the D linemen we need to get better at is, like, mixing up our pass rushes and how we are getting into the backfield, because you can't just go at it the same way over and over again. So that was a fun moment. You always love, as a reporter, when you're asking questions, and without, like, leading people places, they kind of bring the story all together for you. Definitely. And that was a nice moment of that.
As a spider to a Y banana moment, as I like to call it. You know, you're watching Gruden's QB camp back in the day, getting to that jargon. You're like, yes, football jargon. Mm-hmm. Love that stuff. That was a good story. And that should lead us right into Nick Williams, Emily. We had a chance to speak with him for the first time today. And as you're going to hear, he is quite the storyteller. He's got a couple good ones here. But one thing I wanted to start with here from Nick Williams is just how happy he is to be here at Syracuse. And it wasn't him that noticed, didn't it? It was somebody else.
My wife called me the other day, and she was like, "You're having so much fun. You're so happy. I got my weight back. I'm eating good. I'm so blessed and happy to be here. I work with a lot of great men, hard workers. Coach Fran is probably the hardest worker. Coach Fran and Coach Elijah, they're probably the hardest workers I've ever been around. So my work ethic is definitely improving. It's late nights and early mornings. So the only downfall is I don't get a chance to see my family, but they'll be moving up in June, my wife and my baby. So that's the only thing I look forward to. But in the meantime, I'm having a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Got cut off at the end there, but we learned another fun nugget from Nick Williams today, Emily. Coach Fran Brown actually requires his coaching staff to work out 3 days a week. They don't necessarily have to do it together, though. Some of them do it in the morning. Some of them do it at other parts of the day when it's convenient. But from the top down, if we're going to set this example as coaches, we have to show it. And you heard Nick Williams talk about it there, joking around that his wife's pretty happy that he's in the weight room 3-4 days a week.
Yeah. No, that was definitely interesting. And he said that's the first time that a head coach has ever required his staff, a staff that he's been on, to do that. So that was interesting. You know, I kind of want to be like, hey, can we get out there at 5:30 a.m. with you and test out this coach workout routine? I don't know if they all do their own thing or if they have a set regimen they go through. I don't know if Chad Smith, the head athletic trainer, is involved or what's going on there.
When you say we, I don't know who the other person in this conversation is, because you're not getting me out there at 5:30 in the morning. I can tell you that. Nick Williams noted as one of the top 25 recruiters in the country. I asked him about his philosophy about recruiting. Here's what he said.
Building organic, realistic relationships. Just being real. These young boys, they know the difference from real and fake. And I'm just myself. I'm around two of the best, if not the best in the country. And Coach Ian, Coach Fran. And a lot of great recruiters on the offensive side. And I kind of learned from those guys. But I'm just myself. You know, most of the time, more times than not, the guys like me. We listen to the same music. We speak the same language. I'm only 33, so I don't think I'm too old. You know, I'm kind of still young. I feel young. Coach Fran makes us work out 3 times a week, which I love. So I'm in the weight room, and I kind of keep that energy going. The kids like high motor, high energy guys. You know, how am I asking my guys to run to the ball and I'm not running to the ball? That just doesn't make sense to me. So I try to build organic relationship.
That really matters. You know, like my daughter's 18, and there's certain things we connect on. She actually listens to a lot of the same music that I do, even though we're generations apart. Yet there are other things when I talk to her, I feel like that Steve Buscemi meme. It's like, hello, young kids, what are you up to, right? Nick is 33. He said it, speaks the same language, listens to the same music. You make that connection right away. And it's genuine, Emily. It's not just like, oh, yes, I hear the Drake is great music, kids. Like he probably listens to the same music that they're listening to and can speak right to them. And when you say you got to be real with these guys, right? That's half the battle right there. You have to know what they're talking about and how to talk to them about it.
Right. And, you know, it's worth noting as we talk about the D-line and about recruiting, Nick Williams was one of the guys who had a major hand in getting King Joseph Edwards up here And I mean, he was just one of the most talked about recruits in that 2024 class, and a big get for them. So he's a talent. And, you know, I think he's one of those guys that, like Coach Robinson, is probably only going to be here a couple of years and then get to land somewhere else in a bigger role. And so it'll be exciting to see kind of that progression of his career.
So I noted Nick told two good stories today. Here's the first one, how he ran into Fran Brown coming off a train and how a relationship was built.
Man, it was like deja vu because I met him in getting off the train in Atlanta. I was getting on and he was getting off. And I was like, man, I recognized immediately who he was. So I walked with him for about 30 minutes and I just talked to him and I was like, man, you Fran Brown, I heard a lot about you. Everyone says, I'm just like you. And he talked to me and gave me some words of encouragement. And immediately after that conversation, I'm like, man, this dude's going to be a head coach. He was just special. You could just feel it, his energy. And I wrote it down on my short-term and long-term goals. I wanted to work for him, just like I want to work for Coach E one day when he's a head coach. But it's crazy. Two years later, he gave me a call, and it was like, wow. You know, I kind of manifested it, and I look up to those guys. I admire them, especially coming from where they come from, and to accomplish what they've accomplished. It's pretty remarkable.
It really is, Emily. And look, there's 130 or so Division I football programs. Coaching staffs have 10 coaches, but then there's strength coaches and all the staff that's there. We've certainly seen an increase at Syracuse there. So as big as that sounds when you do the math, the coaching world is a small world, right? They see each other on the road. They see each other recruiting. They see each other at the coaching conventions when they go to the national championship weekend. So to meet Fran Brown in that way, and then Nick said it, to almost manifest this relationship that's there, it does show you that it is a smaller world than I guess we think it is.
Yeah, I had heard that story from Nick when I chatted with him in the offseason and got a little one-on-one time. And, you know, it's crazy because he also has similar stories with Robinson and then Deion Sanders, mm-hmm. who he worked under at Colorado on Deion's inaugural staff. And not to spoil too much, you can read it on the site. I feel like I've said that four times today, but you can.
Plug away, baby. Plug away.
He met Deion while Deion's sons were being recruited at, I believe, Georgia. I believe this was when Williams was like a grad assistant at Georgia or a student assistant. And he was like tasked with getting them back from an on-campus party to their hotel or like whatever they had been doing that night. And Deion came down and like thanked him and was like, I'm going to remember you. And was just so impressed by how Williams was working as a student assistant. And 2 to 3 years later, Deion gave him a call and was like, come work for me. And so like, this has happened for multiple times. And like you said, he's a great anecdote teller. So when he tells a story, like you get a good amount of detail and it's fun to hear.
Speaking of which, one last from Nick Williams here, where he references Coach Prime.
Being disciplined and affecting the quarterback. Now we got to strike blockers and stop the run. That's number one. But affecting the quarterback and getting sacks and putting pressure on that guy standing back there. And I think that's been the main focus. And these guys have embraced it. We got really good players. Fidel Diggs is a phenomenal leader. And guys are coming along, Chase and Dennis and Hastings and even the young guys, King and Jihad. I'm really happy. And David O. We're all just holding each other to a standard. And they're holding me to a standard. They know I love what I do. I'm really passionate about it. And one thing Coach Prime told me one time that stuck with me is your guys are going to act just like you. They're going to reciprocate your personality. So this is all I got. This is all I can do is coach ball and be around these young guys. So I take advantage of every day, and I'm extremely blessed when I wake up in the morning and I take advantage. I don't let a day slip, and I'm going to give it my all. And that's what the edge guys are giving me. They're giving me their all. That's all I can ask.
So can I just say this before we hear from Fran Brown in a couple of clips here? Again, how refreshing it is to hear from these assistant coaches, to hear their stories, where they come from and why, what their philosophies are. And, you know, everything's fine. You know, the world still spins. Hearing from assistant coaches, fans especially, like to know who they're investing in, who they're rooting for, where it comes from. And every coach we've talked to so far, Emily, and look, it's we're still in the honeymoon phase here, right? But they've all had good stories to tell. And to hear, you like to hear why. You know, why Nick Williams came to work for Fran Brown, pardon me, as opposed to some of the other coaches, they all had heard about Fran and had connections to Fran, but the path is different. And it's just really interesting to hear that. And William's background, as you brought up with Coach Prime before, and just he's just a really interesting guy, 33 years old, to be in this position here and talk about his family and how happy his wife is. Like, people want to hear this stuff, and they want to relate to these coaches they're investing so much time in. And it's just, I walk away from all of these just refreshed that they get to tell these stories and we get to hear them.
Right. And you know what? It's not the case for every assistant coach, but plenty that I've talked to appreciate the chance to get to share their stories with us too, and talk to us and explain personnel choices and be able to talk through things. And so it's definitely like a mutually beneficial relationship there for the most part. And obviously, like you said, it's the honeymoon phase right now where we're just kind of getting to know each other. But it's been really refreshing.
All right, let's hear from Fran Brown as we continue to get to know him as a head coach here. And shout out to him, by the way. I don't think it's going to be the case for every injury report, but as we noted earlier, we asked him about injuries. There was no upper or lower body injury or vagueness. It was hairline fracture, surgery, all these terms that we heard, because he saw no reason to hide any of that. We'll see if that's the case during the season. Football coaches are football coaches, after all. But you guys want to know how the scrimmage went. Here's what Fran Brown saw in the scrimmage on Saturday.
Kyle did a really good job. I thought he was on point. He got the guys to play. I think he has to be able to get them to maintain that through the entire game, though. They played for him early on. You could see it. And as we got into situational football, we thought we gave up a little bit too many sacks. You know, but I thought Kyle did a good job. I think the young guy, Joe Cruz, he did a good job stepping up on the offensive line. Just seeing guys like himself. Of course, a couple of young wideouts are doing a good job. Yazzie Haynes, Gill stepping up, just watching him do things. And then seeing that we can run the football, you know. I think we'll have an opportunity of being able to run the ball. So those guys did good on the defense. Diggs, of course, he could play. And just being able to see young Marcellus. Marcellus did a good job. Our safeties, I'm pretty cool. I feel good about JB and Deuce and Cinco. You know, just feel pretty good about those guys, what they're doing. They've been able to lead, so just trying to figure the rest out. But I've just seen some guys make plays, but then you've seen them kind of low off. You know, we just talk about second parts of it. To us, this is the second half of spring ball. You know, we did, practice 8 today? So it's like our second half, similar to the season, being able to go. You know, we've had a history of starting off fast and then not finish. So we'll see what they do now.
Two things in there, Emily. One, Fran is well aware of the history he's walking into, that Syracuse has faded in the second half of the season due to injury. Somewhat other reasons went into that, certainly, but that was a main ingredient in that. And yet another reference of Marcellus Barnes Jr., freshman who comes in, highly rated recruit, who sounds like he is pushing for playing time and is somebody that's popping out there.
Right. I mean, you definitely have to think, at least at this point, obviously there are more freshmen coming in the summer who could be impact guys. Mm-hmm. But as it stands, Marcellus is kind of the shoe-in, I think, for true freshmen who could get significant playing time in the fall. That last part of that quote that you started off with in your comments, like that's also what resonated with me about him recognizing that this has been a pattern in the past for Syracuse. Because I think so often when new coaching staffs come in, you hear like, oh, well, that's the past and it's going to be different now. And we're doing things different. So it's not going to be the same. And what happened last year, what happened 2 years ago, doesn't matter to me. But like, the truth of the matter is you're working with largely the same personnel. And like, obviously there's been a decent chunk of turnover this year, but you're working with the same personnel that was around for the past 2 years, up to 4 years with some of these guys who are older. And so there are things that have been problems in past years that could still pop up and are worth mentioning and bringing up. And you know, obviously it is going to be different just because it's Fran and it's different, but like, that doesn't mean that like everything is just going to be smooth sailing in the second half of the season, like brand new and everything's good to go. So I thought that was really interesting and kind of just shows how seriously he's taking this whole thing. Like he is acknowledging what the problems have been for this group in the past and both on and off the field. Cause we all know about some of the problems or purported problems with the alumni relations and stuff like that. And that's obviously been a focus. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that's a great point. A couple more from Fran Brown here. Emily, we've heard so much about DART, detailed, accountable, relentless, and tough, right? Well, Fran put out a new philosophy today.
You got to always do what's best for the S first, which is Syracuse, then the player, then the coaching staff. So, you know, the best thing for Syracuse as a university, alumni, just fans, was to get him to go get right so then that way they can see a nice player on the field come September instead of prolonging it and then, you know, things linger along, you know.
That came from Fran talking about the Aronda Gadsden and Jackson Meeks injury, about thinking about long-term, big-term. It doesn't benefit you to be out there right now. We need you healthy when it matters in September. So let's get those things taken care of now. And, you know, one injury is a little bit more of a longer process in recovery than the other, as we brought up earlier. But that was a new one from Fran. We're starting to get all these philosophies and expressions here, DART being the main one, but there's another one right there. A couple weeks to go in camp here as we bear down. We're, 11 days away from the spring game on April 20th. Here's what Fran wants to see down the stretch from his team.
I just want to be able to line up and run power over and over again. And you know that we're running the ball and you can't stop it. That's what that looks like to me. And they know we're running it and they're running the blitz to it. And we still run it over and over again. Like, to me, that's when you'll be mentally and physically tough. You know, or if it's in the fourth quarter and we can run for 100 yards in the fourth quarter just because we can run the football and we're tough and the line wants to run behind them. You know, that's kind of what it looks like to me. But we'll get the second half of spring ball and then summer workout. You know, that's where we really build that out. That's where we find out who's what.
When he was asked initially about it, Emily, he said, toughness. This team's got to be tougher. That includes the coaching staff. That includes myself. That includes the players. So right to the end here with 11 days to the spring game, he's really emphasizing that. And I feel like the pace of practice, the energy of practice, which almost every player we've talked to has noted that, the strength and conditioning program is tougher, is harder. But one thing I've really taken from that, and I wonder if you've seen the same, Emily, or maybe something that I'm not bringing up here, is the players like it, right? We hear so much about this, you can't challenge the younger generation as much as you used to. I mean, that's obviously not the case, because this team and these guys have really embraced it. It's like when you start a new workout program for the first week, it stinks because you're sore and you're like, why am I doing this? But once you kind of get used to it, you're like, yeah, I'm feeling better. This is good. And I like that he's leaning on us a little harder and being more direct as well.
Right. I mean, a great example is as we were leaving practice today, you and I noted how frenetic the special teams drills yes. are. Like, practice in general is very up-tempo and loud. But when they get out there to run the field goals, like, it's like all hell breaks loose, but like it's planned that way.
Yes.
And it's funny because we don't really get a watch because that's when we're being escorted out, but we kind of like catch glances over our shoulders and are turning around and stuff. But you asked punter Jack Stonehouse about that, and he immediately like broke out into a smile talking about it. So it's certainly the players like how up-tempo and fast and intense and competitive and all of those adjectives, how much of practice has been like that.
You said another word too, and it's ironic because what we heard about Dino Babers coming in, and for a while it was how fast practice would go and Orange is the new fast. These practices have been faster, but that word, louder. The coaches and the players pick up on it too. It's literally louder because Fran has the microphone he turns on sometimes. I put some video on Twitter if you guys want to hear Fran Brown doing live color commentary about what he's coaching, and then the whole practice gets to hear it. So these guys know, like, I'm going to get called out here, not just by a coach in an individual group, but my head coach is going to tell everybody at times what is happening there. But yeah, it's just louder. There is more energy. There is a stronger pace to it. And this is just the 25 minutes or so we get to watch, let alone what we don't get to see, just what we get to hear about. And again, we're heading towards a spring game that could actually replicate and look like a game more than we've seen in a while here, for sure. So, Emily, our next pod is going to be Thursday. We are going to get the chance to talk to Ross Douglas then, who comes to Syracuse from the New England Patriots in the National Football League. So it'll be interesting to get a broad view of the wide receivers, but it's going to be mailbag time. We are going to do pretty much the entire pod, aside from things we see at practice on Thursday and who we get to talk to on Thursday, from your questions. So this is where our Syracuse Sports Insiders get to step in here. Text the word orange to 315-847-3895 if you haven't already to become a Syracuse Sports Insider so you can send us your questions about Syracuse football, about the transfer portal in college basketball, about lacrosse, anything going on in orange sports that you want to know about, send it to us. But for this mailbag, we've already got a few in the bank here, but anything you want to know about what we've seen at practice so far, what we're going to see about Syracuse football in general, send us your questions, and Emily and I are going to dedicate most of Thursday's podcast to your questions about this team, your thoughts about this team as well. So all of our Syracuse Sports Insiders already signed up. Make sure you send us your questions. And if you haven't signed up yet, it's a two-week free trial, and it's just $3.99 a month after that. Today, for example, walked off the field, saw that Jackson Meeks was in a boot. That's new. Our Syracuse Sports Insiders knew that first thing when we walked off the practice field. So sign up today to be a Syracuse Sports Insider, and Thursday's pod should be a lot of fun. Emily, final thoughts here before we go. How was your view of the eclipse earlier this week? I know you were high atop the Syracuse.com media headquarters.
Yeah, you know, it was fine. Everyone was dealing with clouds, right? So yeah. We got a couple glimpses. It's funny because they make the glasses, right, pitch black, so you're protecting your eyes. But with the clouds and the glasses on, you couldn't see anything.
No.
So I will admit, now that it's over, I did sneak one glance with my raw eyes and then spent the rest of the afternoon being like, should I have done that? But, the eyes are fine. I thought it was really cool, you know, seeing everything go dark and watching kind of the streetlights come on in the city where the newsroom is downtown. We have a pretty good view of everything and can look around. And it was just fun, too, to see people out enjoying it and taking time off work and having a beer and just laying back in the grass and stuff like that. It's one of those moments where, like, humanity felt all right. Like, I think most of the time these days, like, humanity could feel really frustrating. And it was just nice to see, like, in person, but then also online, like, everyone kind of just sharing a little bit of, like, childlike wonder for this kind of crazy, weird, spectacular, celestial event.
Well said. And that was the part I didn't really expect, that people didn't really, there was so much focus on what it would look like in terms of just the moon and the sun intersecting. The fact that it gets dark every night, obviously, but it's a gradual process. For it to be light, even on a cloudy day, dark for 5 minutes and light again was just creepy. It was like a Ghostbusters movie or something, right? So that experience was cool. But yeah, I may have snuck in a look or two without the glasses, but it was cloudy. So what does that mean? We'll see. We'll just, see how the eyes are feeling going forward here. But once in a lifetime event here in Central New York. And of course it had to be cloudy, but everybody snuck in a view at some point. I saw, some guy proposed to his girlfriend at one of the local Central New York events. I mean, that's better than doing it at like a baseball game or something. Well done, buddy. Way to go on that. And like you said, everybody just for 5 minutes just kind of took a deep breath and said, yeah, pretty cool, this world we live in sometimes. We need some more of those events to come along here. Like Syracuse football, for example, the spring game. We'll all unite there on the 20th. Mm-hmm. Until then, Emily and I will be on it for you. Check out all her great stuff on Syracuse.com. Our pod Thursday is going to be dedicated to your questions, so we're looking forward to that and continuing to track Syracuse football here. For the meantime, Emily Liker, Brent Dax, Syracuse Sports. It's presented by Krause Health, the exclusive healthcare partner for SU Athletics. And we'll talk to you next time, guys.